Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So go over to chapter 2 and look at verse number 7. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse number 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And now if you look over in verse 15, let's go to verse number 15 down there. "The Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him.' And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.' And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, that you would meet with us, Lord, as we take a look at this very sacred institution, Lord. This wonderful thing called marriage. And Lord, we're going back to the book of beginnings so that we can understand original intent. Lord, may we just learn again, dear God. For some, these are simply reminders. For others, dear God, these may be new concepts. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to set as our goal as husband and wives to have a Bible-based marriage. I pray for our young people, dear God, as they look into the future, and Lord, as they are in the process of preparing and praying for that one that you'd bring into their life in your time, dear God, that you would help them and give them a heart's desire to have a Bible-based marriage. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've been busy with the church climbing mountains. And as I was praying over what to preach into our fall and going into the months ahead and kind of over giving an overview of the preaching in the next several months, I began to be dealt with by the Lord very specifically about spending some time preaching on the family. And so I'm not going to say we'll do it every Wednesday night or every Sunday night, but scattered throughout the next couple months, we're going to stop on our upward journey on these mountains and every once in a while say, let's talk about family. And we're going to start with, of course, where we ought to start, and that's in the book of Genesis. And we go there to learn, as I mentioned, original intent. There's a Bible principle when you study the Bible. It's one of those rules of Bible study that you want to make sure that you're careful of so that you always properly interpret things the way God sees them. And that's the law of first mention. Whenever anything is mentioned the first time in the Bible, God defines it. And after that, we know what he's talking about when he mentions it later on. For instance, let me give you, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, as the first mention of the church, the newly formed church, speaking in tongues. The Bible also clearly defines what that is that they did. And therefore, every time we see the subject of tongues that comes up after that, we go back to the first mentioned principle, and we know that when the Bible's talking about speaking in tongues, he's talking exactly about what happened in Acts chapter 2. That was not anybody standing up and preaching in some type of a a heavenly language or a mysterious language. That was people that were speaking the gospel, sharing the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful works of God. And as they spoke, they were gifted to speak in languages that they previously did not know. These were languages that men, other men, did understand. And from that definition, we know that every time it's mentioned after, just think about how much false teaching and false doctrine would be eliminated if we just stayed true to that law of first mention. Now, America seems to be confused about marriage. It's because they have turned their back on the law of first mention. When any type of government body decides that it's time to redefine marriage, I'm sorry, you didn't define it in the first place, and you don't have a right to redefine it, because God defined it in the Bible. He did so in Genesis, and you don't get to later on take something as sacred as marriage and decide you're just going to redefine it. Just like the charismatics can't just take something called tongues and redefine it to match what they want it to be. And so it's good for us to go back here. It's good that the Blessed Hope Baptist Church has a history of good, sound Bible teaching when it comes to that of the family. I believe if you want a strong church, you need strong families. And so a preacher that doesn't teach and preach often on the family, whether he realizes it or not, is ultimately weakening his own church, the church that God's called him to pastor. And so these things, again, aren't probably for many of you new things, but boy, it's important that we go back and hit reset buttons. The devil's busy, and he's been very successful, folks, some of the things I'm going to talk about. You say, oh, preacher, at least in the church we haven't strayed away from God's original intent. Well, we're going to have an opportunity to take a look at it. And I'm going to say some things, and I promise you ought to listen to me. There's the world's way of doing that things, and there's the Bible way of doing things. So let's take a look at the Bible tonight. I love Genesis chapter 1, and I want to start there because I love to read the creation story of how God created the first man. The Bible says in verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I just want to say this, that the Bible says that God is the one who created both man and women and a woman, and that they were created in the image of God. Both were created in the image of God. Now, folks, that ought to cause us to square our shoulders a little bit. We've got something we need to live up to. Okay, dogs weren't created in the image of God. Cows weren't created in the image of God. Horses weren't created in the image of God. Birds weren't created in the image of God. Only one of God's creation did he say, I want it to mirror me or be an image of me, a mirror of who I am. And so that gives us a lot to live up to, body, soul, and spirit. Only a man is a triune being. We're created in God's image. God is the Trinity. We also are created as a triune being. God spoke everything else into existence. When it came to man, he took his hands, God's hands, and reached down and took dirt. By the way, that's good for us. Maybe that'd be a good thing to just kind of hit a reset button and keep us humble a little bit, amen. Hey, preacher, who do you think you are? I'll tell you who I am. I'm just a big pile of dirt. That's what I am. So are you, by the way. You know, when you get to thinking of yourself so high and mighty, you know what? Dust to dust. Isn't that what the preacher says when he stands over the grave? And about time we get to thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. God just took a bunch of dirt and formed it together, and that's who we are. But God did a miraculous thing. And the Bible says he not only formed us with his hands, but then God's lips touched man's lips, and he breathed the breath of life into him. And then he gave and gifted man something that only we have, and that is a never-dying, ever-living soul. Now, well, folks, I say this from time to time, but let me just say it again. This whole thing about, well, I'm only human, that's a pretty sorry excuse. That's not the thing you want to say to try to justify failure. Being human isn't something that ought to give us an excuse to live down. It ought to challenge us to live upward, because we're made in the image of God. And so both man and woman were created in the image of God. Number two, look in chapter 2, verse number 8. God created the man and placed him in a garden. In chapter 2 and verse number 8, we see that God not only created the man, But the Bible says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And I believe that it's important for us to understand that God created not only a man, but a place for that man to be and a place for that man to serve. I don't believe in just the what of the will of God. I believe in the where of the will of God. And I believe that we ought to be very careful. Make sure that we stay in the place that God wants us to be. And so God created the man and placed him in the garden. And by the way, he put him in a garden. It was a place where he was surrounded by reminders of his Creator. And so he did not just prepare a man, but he prepared a place for that man. In chapter 2, verse number 15, notice there, number 3, God gave man both a purpose and responsibilities. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And so we see that God not only created a man and created a place for him to be, but then he gave him a job. He gave him a purpose. He said, I want you to, I didn't put you here so you can just lounge around. I didn't put you here so that you can just, sleep all the time, watch the sun come up, watch it set down. God gave him a job to do. What was the job? To dress the Garden of Eden. All right, to dress it means to be the caretaker of it. And folks, listen to me. This idea of work was not a result of the curse of sin. Okay, are you listening to that? He said, but preacher, the Bible says that part of the curse, we work by the sweat of our brow. Amen. Thorns and thistles. You know what? The curse affected the earth, which made it all of our work harder. But work was not a curse, and work shouldn't be considered and viewed by any of us men as a curse. It's a privilege to get up and be able to put your hand to something and do something. And a person who is not raised, and young men, we challenge you, raised to embrace the idea of work and hard work. Don't grumble about it. I mean, you might as well get used to it. It's going to be part of your life. Amen? Don't grumble about it. Embrace it. I mean, work by the sweat of your brow. I mean, be the first one to jump in. Be the last one to pull off. If you as a young man begin to build a reputation of being a good worker and a hard worker, it's going to carry you far in life. I'm assuming all of you guys one of these days want to get married. Maybe not down at this end. They don't seem to be interested. Samuel could care less right now. And so I'm going to just make a prophecy and a prediction about you, Samuel. One day that will change. I'm just going to look into the future. And I'm glad he's still going like this. I want him to. But I will tell you, I am right about this, all right? And one of these days, that's going to change. And hey, you know what? Oh, Twitter faded, and oh my goodness sakes, got hit by Cupid's arrow, and I'm in love, and okay. All right, young men, if you're going to go do it properly, and you're going to go sit down and talk to some young lady's father one of these days, he's going to have some questions for you. And they're going to involve finances. And they're going to, hey, you know what? You don't have a right to start planning a marriage if you are a lazy bum and you haven't worked and you have no way to figure out how you're going to work and you don't have any way to make money to provide for that young lady. But we're going to live on love. Amen. You sure are. Yeah. 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 That electric bill comes, you just write love on it. You just write love. Don't put any money, don't put a check, just write love. And then put it in the mail. Amen. You'll have plenty of time to love, all right, because you're going to be in the dark, so. I shouldn't have gone there. That's right. You're going to say, I'm trying to climb out of this hole I dug. So how was Hawaii, anyway? You're going to look at that little woman and say, I'm hungry. She's going to say, well, so am I. you know, they're not giving away groceries at the grocery store. Could you give me some money? Well, let me call my mommy. That's where I've always got my money up to this point in my life. That's good for us, amen. Now, young lady, you can be dumb or you can be smart. But one of the things, stop looking at these, all right? And how cute and whatever. You might want to take notice whether or not the man's ever brought home a paycheck. Okay? Are you listening to me? Okay, because a lot of the choices that we make and the reasons we choose people aren't based on much sense. And so, young men, that's good for me to say that. I mean, you young men need to step up. You need to be busy. You know what you do in your teenage years? You develop a work ethic. And then you develop trade skills, something that you can make marrying money on. Something you can make marrying money on. Hey, listen to me. $9 an hour isn't marrying money. Not in this day and age. Okay? $10 an hour is not marrying money. Okay? If you're working that and trying to keep your house open, probably next thing you know, you're going to be pressuring your wife to go work too. And we're going to get to that in original intent here, but that's not where she's supposed to be. Okay? Man, that's not true. I like it when it gets quiet. Hey, we're not even there yet, folks. I was just kind of flying a little balloon, test balloon out there, but now you got me excited. I can't wait to get there, Norman. God gave the man responsibilities to maintain the garden. God gave man the responsibility to protect the garden. It says to dress it and to keep it. And young men, as you grow up, men, you guys know this, we develop, I think it's God-given, men are protectors. And God's wired us that way. We look at things differently. We see things differently. We see situations differently. We have to. And it was Adam's job to protect the garden, protect his wife. God gave the man the rules concerning the garden. Verse 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so God created man. He had a will for him, a place for him. He had a responsibility, a job for him to do. He had gave him protection responsibilities, and he gave him the rules. Here's the do's and here's the don'ts. And you know why? Because he was to lead that relationship, and that's the way God intended it. Now, let's go to the next verse, number 18. God created a woman, number 4, God created a woman to be a helper designed specifically for the man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And so God created Eve and created her specifically for Adam, a helper meet or designed for him. Her purpose was to be a helper. Now, God didn't create a second garden and say, okay, this is Adam's place and this is your place. He took her to his place. Okay, too many husbands are following wives. Too many husbands are following wives. Too many husbands are following wives. All right, wives, you're supposed to follow your husband. Okay, wherever your husband, God puts your husband, wherever that place is for him, you follow him. Okay, you go where God places him to go. He didn't create a second garden. He took her to his garden. Okay, he didn't create a second job. He created her to be a helper that would help him to be able to accomplish the job that was given to the man. Okay, to see God created him with a purpose, him with a calling. And God says to him, you know what, you're to accomplish this. By the way, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to give him a helper, someone who's going to come into his life that in all areas, in all facets of his life, will make the accomplishing of whatever the will of God easier. Someone that will help in that. So watch this, young ladies. God didn't create Eve a garden. God didn't create a second will or a second calling or a second purpose, but a helper to help the man accomplish his purpose. Okay? And so these are the reset buttons that need to be hit in America, okay? Her purpose was to be a helper, to do what was necessary to help him succeed in his divinely assigned work and responsibilities. A man is created for work. What are we talking about original intent here? A man is created for a work or a calling or a purpose, and the woman is created for the man. Well, I'm going to tell you, if I walked in most of the universities today and said that, I mean, they'd bring out their stones and want to stone me to death. Let me say it again. A man is created for the work and the woman for the man. What is original intent, preacher? Much of the discontent in marriage today is a result of either a lack of understanding or the refusal to accept original intent. Original intent. Ladies, your husband was created to accomplish a divine will and a divine work for God. This is how he's wired. This is his focus. Okay, these, you know, house dads. Okay, stay-at-home dads. You know what? It isn't going to work. Never was meant to be. Men aren't wired that way. Men does not have the nurturing gifts, the motherly gifts. That's not God's creation. That's not what he created them to do. Okay, this whole role reversal thing that's going on in America. Wrong. 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 Okay. You know, folks, as much as I hate to see what is happening, and I do, it grieves me to see what is happening as far as the perverseness, the redefining of marriage, having homosexual marriages legalized in our nation, transgenders now coming in right behind them. I mean, just as prophesied, just as predicted. I mean, you know what? I can take you back a year ago, published in the Bloomington paper. That paper's website blew up after I sent a letter and they published it on who's next in line. Who's next in line? Guess what? You don't just okay one level of perversion and not have the next level of perversion being right in line behind it saying, well, what about us? We got rights. What about us? And you watch this, folks. The pedophiles. Pedophiles are now wanting their rights. Pedophiles want to be recognized as just a person that's just made that way, created that way. All the same arguments that the homosexual use, every other type of pervert, I said every other type of pervert, okay? So that included them as being perverts, because they are. Every other type of perverts will use the same excuses as the homosexuals to one day gain their rights. And so, well, now, I hate that. It angers me. It disgusts me. I'm watching the foundation of civilization crumble. Okay. But watch this. Watch this. Churches contributed to it. Christians have contributed to it. I mean, you go even to a good Baptist church and start talking about some of the things I do and women get their hackles up. You see, folks, role reversal, any and everything we've done to reverse the roles, we've helped whatever areas we've surrendered to, we've helped their cause. Okay? Now, what are you saying? I'm saying let's go back to Genesis. Let's go look at original intent. Let's be willing to face some things. Okay? There's a reason that God created a man and a purpose that he had for a man, and it's not the same as a woman. Okay? There's a reason that God created a woman. It's not the same as a man. Okay? And so, the original intent of a husband, he's created for a work or calling or a purpose in life. The woman was created for the man. This is God's doing. God's plan. It is good in God's eyes. A husband needs a wife who gives herself as a helper to him in accomplishing God's will for his life. This is why she was created. This is God's original intent for her life. Husbands, you need to answer this question. What did God place you on this planet to accomplish for him? Wives, you need to ask that question to your husband. I'm talking about this, but young ladies, you know what? Young man, you don't have a right to go and ask a young lady to be your wife until you're ready to answer this question. And every young lady, she won't. She'll go, yes. But if she was smart, she'd stop and ask this question. Well, that means you're asking me to be a helpmeet to help you accomplish what God's put you on this earth to do. What is that? What is that? She had the right to ask that question. Okay? And so you ought to be willing to ask your husband that question, and then whatever the answer is, then you realize that God placed you on this planet for him, to help him to accomplish God's will for his life. Husbands, are you doing it? Wife, is the focus of your life helping your husband accomplish what God has placed him on earth to accomplish? Husbands, if you have no divine goals, you have no divine purpose, you're not only frustrating yourself, but you're frustrating your wife because she wants to help you accomplish something. That's how she was wired. That's what she's made to do. A man without a purpose is married to a wife without a purpose. A man without a purpose is married to a wife without a purpose. And she's waiting on you. Okay? Is what you want to accomplish with your life more important than what God has given your husband to accomplish with his life? We were watching a commercial the other day. It was about a moving company. And this couple is moving all their furniture into this house. And then they got it all settled. And the woman takes the mail, opens it up. I think it was a mail, maybe it was a phone call. And she looks at her husband and said, "Guess what? I've been relocated." And he jumps up and starts packing all the stuff and moving it out of the house again because she's been relocated. I asked a little girl, I was talking to one of our bus girls out there, and I was talking to her and said something about being a mommy, and she said, "Well, I've got a career picked out." And one of our little bus girls, faithful bus girl, I said, "You do? What's it going to be?" She said, "I'm going to be an FBI agent." That's all. I got her contact information. I might need an FBI agent one of these days. But you know why that they're saying those things? Because they're being taught all the way up. You know what? If I don't have a career, I don't have a purpose. Folks, listen to me. This whole thing that happened with the ERA and the Women's Lib Movement in the 1960s and 70s just changed America. And it hasn't changed it for the good. And so we're talking about God's perfect will here, God's original intent. Husbands, if you're blessed to have a wife who understands original intent and has given herself to help you accomplish what God has placed you on the earth to accomplish, then love her and appreciate her and spoil her and praise her and celebrate her and honor her, because her price is far above rubies, because they're few and far between. They are just few and far between. I read things. American men who want to be men, I don't know if I should say this, I've got to put some thoughts in people's mind, but American men who want to be men, more and more articles are coming out that they're giving up on finding a wife in America. That the average American woman has been so brainwashed that a man who really understands and wants to be a man and wants a traditional home and a traditional marriage, they're going across the ocean. I don't blame them. I wouldn't go to Africa, but I mean, they're going... I'm in so much trouble, I might just go all the way, man. You're going across the ocean. Huh. Where are they going? A few handful of places left on the planet where young ladies are being raised to be moms and wives and mothers. Who wants to be... Let me take you there, because some of you are looking at me like this isn't in the Bible. So let's go to Titus chapter 2. Let's go there. This more, we need to say this out loud more and more and more. Why? Because the devil's attacking original intent. He's attacked it. Christians have surrendered to it. They're giving up on it. I'm embarrassed of faith, but I'm proud of faith. She came to me the other day and said, "Preacher, I'm just going to ask you an honest question. I just want to grow up and be a wife and a mom, so do I really need to go to Bible college?" I said, girl, look around Blessed Hope. You got to go somewhere to find. Just Kim and I. Yes, sir. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You guys, why do they set up here? I guess because I know they're going to get, you know, every Sunday, they come up every week. Come on, get me again. Get me again. But I like what she said. Hey, you know what? Every young lady ought to be able to say that. And by the way, not be looked down on. Not look like some second-class citizen. Or look at you like, whoa, what's wrong with you? Okay. I mean, good night. What an honor. You know what she's saying? She's saying, I want God's original intent. I want to be what God created Eve to be for Adam. Amen. Young ladies, don't apologize for that. I mean, good night. Embrace that. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which comes down doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. Aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. I wonder what good things would be for them to teach. Oh, here we go. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's funny, I don't see anything outside the circle of the home. You know what I see? Decency, modesty, appropriateness, being chaste, being discreet, purity. And by the way, let me raise you up to love your husband and to love your children and to be obedient to your husband, that God's word's not blasphemed. Okay, that's what every older lady ought to be passing down, both by example, behavior that becometh holiness, and by verbalization, by teaching and training to the next generation. That's what is God's original intent. Yet God's original plan, it started in Genesis. Here we are, clear over in Titus, New Testament. For those of you that have no trust in the Old Testament, I don't know why you wouldn't. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. But it's backed up in the New Testament that that's now. I want to put something in the hearts of our young ladies. Okay? Stop talking about careers. Okay? Stop worrying about money and a second paycheck. More worried about how fancy the house you're going to live in, or whether or not you're going to get a sports car, than you are whether or not you're going to have children and raise them for the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, that'll be the focus. That'll be the preparation process of your teenage life. Okay? Well, this is good.
Amen.
Amen. It's good for us. So I want you young ladies to get that. I want you to embrace that. Well, some people are going to laugh. I know people are mocking right now in the congregation. But God sees your heart. You know what? I'll let Him judge those things. This is something to be laughed about. I mean, we're fighting a cultural war right now. Okay? Femininity is just about been erased. Masculinity is about been erased. Role reversal's complete. Okay? I mean, they're across the street in their dresses, picketing Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Men in dresses. You got a verse against that? I didn't say if you got a half a verse, you got a verse against it, a whole verse against it. Okay? I always wonder, what if the lesbians come and pick it? And they want to wear something. Oh, preacher, this is terrible. What's happening? Can you believe it? Yeah, I believe it. Excuse me, ma'am, you've helped it. You've helped desensitize America. Some of you ought to understand what the word abomination means. This isn't some little minor personal preference issue. Come on now. You know, everybody in this community can laugh and mock at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm proud of our young ladies. I'm proud of the women in this church that get up every morning and honor the Lord by dressing in an unquestionable feminine way. Unquestionable. Unquestionable. And so, you know, this is what we're fighting. Okay? I hope that you'll take this as from God. I hope you'll let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart. But I'm going to tell you, we've had a good group of young ladies grow up and listen to godly women in this church, but now we're getting a little backlash of some that wants to go back and dress the way they did in the American Baptist Convention we left. Okay. Get off the internet. Stop listening to heathens. Okay. There isn't an excuse you can give me that I can't blow across apart completely with Scripture. Okay. It wasn't the Holy Spirit of God that told you one day to put on man's clothes, put your breeches on. It wasn't the Holy Spirit of God that did that. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God didn't do that. Okay. And man, I'm fighting tooth and nail for a nation. I'm fighting tooth and nail for a nation. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. I always thought it'd be kind of comfortable to keep preaching out here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. It's sad that it's kind of uncomfortable. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Okay. The husband-wife relationship. Now, let's take it this matter of marriage. We're into it, so let's go. Look at verse number 23 now, Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Preacher, here we are. We finally got to marriage. No, what we've been covering has everything to do with marriage. Most of the problems in marriages have to do with people not identifying their proper role. And you're going to have conflict when you decide that you're going to define your role differently than God does. It causes problems in a marriage. And so if we get original intent fixed, then you know a lot of other things are good then. Marriage takes two people and makes them one in the sight of God. Look at verse 23, chapter 3, verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him, chapter 2, verse number 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The math works. Say, preacher, I don't think it does. One plus one doesn't equal one. Well, it's because they were not one. Adam wasn't complete without Eve, and Eve wasn't complete without Adam. There were two fractions that found each other and became a one. Okay? A husband completes a wife, and a wife completes a husband. Before you're married, young people, you're going to be frustrated with feelings of being incomplete. Now listen to me, young people, please hear me. That's not normal, that's natural. You're just going to be frustrated about it. All right? You know why? Well, preacher, I don't feel complete, because you're not. So I'm not going crazy? No, you're going crazy. There's a way to fix it. But you make sure you fix it right. Fix it in God's time, God's way. Before you're married, you're frustrated. Feeling of incompleteness. The devil knows this. He'll try to capitalize on it. He's going to send you young ladies and young men some several counterfeits before God sends you the one He has created for you. Don't fall for it. Wait. Be patient. Because you want to wait for the one God has for you. Number six, the husband-wife relationship is to be the closest of all human relationships. It said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Cleave and leave principle. Okay? The husband-wife relationship creates a oneness. The husband-wife relationship is one of sacred intimacy. And it takes two people and makes them one. There ought to be another human being that you're closer to as a man than your wife. There ought to be another human being that you're closer to as a wife than your husband. Amen. You leave and cleave. Okay, let me help you husbands. Let me help your wives. Okay, husbands, listen to me. You got a choice making mama happy or wife happy. Mama's unhappy. Amen. Okay? Got a choice to making your parents happy or your husband happy? Your parents are unhappy. They're not number one. Your wife's number one. husband's number one. Some of you need to cut the apron strings. Parents, don't put your married children in that situation. Let me say it again. Parents, don't put your married children in that situation. Okay? Don't be a controlling in-law. Okay? Soon you're going to be an outlaw. We got to laugh now, man. It's thick in here, so. I'm having a good time. Husband-wife relationship, close of all human relationships. It shouldn't be an exclusive relationship. Doesn't mean that you can't still love mom and dad. I mean, that kind of a dominance, controlling man, young man, isn't a safe person to marry. Okay? It doesn't mean it's exclusive. I mean, I want my wife to have a great relationship with her parents. I want my wife to have a great relationship with her brothers and her sisters. I want to help that. I want to encourage that. But you know what? We left our homes. We joined together and we created a new family unit. Okay? And we need to put each other first. All right? God's intent for the first married couple was for them to be blessed with children. You know what it said back in chapter 1, verse number 28? God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Folks, children are a blessing. They're a blessing from God. They're lent to us for a time. God's intent of the first married couple was for them to have children. We live in a selfish generation. Generation more, again, you know what it's all about? Well, I can't have this. I've got my career going. We can't have children. We'll do that down the road. Career. So they're getting married. They're not having children. You don't understand, preacher. Yeah, I do understand. I understand what Genesis teaches. I understand what the Bible says. I understand what it means to be keepers at home. I understand God's original intent. And America has not been made better by kids being raised by daycares. Mama needs to be there. There is no greater career than to be a wife and a mother. There is no greater career than that. Okay, so be careful. All right? God's intent for the first married couple was for them to be blessed with children. In Psalms 127, what a beautiful psalm. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved seed. Sleep low. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of his youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Folks, we've got to stop being brainwashed by people that's tried to convince us that if we have more than 1.5 children, we're going to overpopulate the earth. It's ridiculous. The happiest families are large families. Okay, I was down at the taxidermist shop. I'll tell you where I was. And news came of the DeBall family. You heard maybe about the family that attends Brother Castle's church. And here's a man and a woman that the woman is expecting her 12th child. Her 12th child. And he dies in the middle of the night of a massive heart attack. Can you imagine such a thing? And the oldest boy's off at Bible college. I think the oldest girl's married. But the rest of the children are at home. She's expecting another one, and he dies of a massive heart attack. I'll tell you, I grieved over that. When I went down to drop something off at the taxidermist shop, and I was talking to some men that were in there, and they were asking about Brother Castle, you know, because a lot of times me and him go in there together. Well, where's? And I said, well, he's had a weekend. I told him about what happened. One of the guys said, man, I heard about that at work. He said, what a crazy thing. I said, yeah, my goodness. Don't let me forget where I'm at. But folks, listen to me. That's why your preacher, every once in a while when I teach on finances, say, men, you get a term life insurance policy. I don't know if they had insurance or not. I'm not saying anything about them. This is a side note. Well, you know, we're all going to live forever, and that's never going to happen to us. These were Christian people. Okay? And if you were to die tomorrow, sir, would your wife have to go to work a week from now? Okay, what I'm saying is, Well, we can't afford, You know what I found out? Look right up here. I'm going to tell you what I found out. People afford what they want the most. I hear somebody say, well, we just can't afford it. I like looking at what they purchased in the last 6 months. Because you know what you afford? What you want the most. What's the most important to you. Sir, let me challenge you. As a husband, what ought to be one of the things that's most important to you is to make sure that if anything happened to you, your wife would be taken care of. And your children would be taken care of. But that's not where I started telling this story. One of the men in there opened his mouth and said, well, I think it's ridiculous to have 12 children anyway. Said that out loud. So he said it in front of Jerry Ross. So when you say something in front of Jerry Ross, I said, why would you say that? He said, well, just this in this day and age, just in this day and age. I said, why is this day and age different than any day and age? Well, it's just the way the world is. I said, tell me when the world's been good. He's just wiggling around now. He said, well, I said, what number are you in your family? He said, well, I'm the fourth. Because he said before that, he said, well, I think after you have one or two, that's enough. I asked him, I said, well, what number are you? He said, four. And I just went, bye. You're gone. And you know what I said? Large families are a blessing. They're a blessing. You know, and I told him, I hope he had insurance, you know, but it's a blessing. Be careful, folks. You know, when you hear stuff out like that, answer it. Don't just sit there. Answer it. Okay, how many of you were the third child or later than that, third, fourth, fifth, sixth? Y'all are gone. You're not here. You know why? Because you listen to the brainwashing of the liberals. Said, don't have more than two. You're being irresponsible. You have more than two children. I mean, good night. And so let's as we look at the scriptures tonight, just let some of these things get back into our thinking, back in our conversation. Ladies, I don't want you going mad at me. If you're mad, you're not really mad at me. Okay, go home. And I'm more than happy. If you come with the right spirit, I'm more than happy to sit down with anybody in here. And I will, with a good spirit, explain if you don't understand about what the Bible says concerning dress standards. But the more that American Christians have gone the way of the culture and the way of the world and surrendered these things, the more the world has been on a fast track to where it's at. We wouldn't fight for the femininity of our ladies 50 years ago. And now the masculinity of our young man has gone by the wayside too, for the most part. Role reversal is almost complete. And guess what? You're going to walk into a bathroom in the near future and there's going to be a man in the girls' bathroom. Before you go screaming, let's go look in the mirror. Because why did this get to this point? Because we want to begin to make excuses about role reversal in different areas of our life. And in way, way, way too many Christian families, I'll finish with this. Mama's the top dog. She's got the masculine personality. She's bossing everybody around. The girls are raised hearing that, so they're all overbearing, way too mouthy, way too bossy. And the young men are looking at daddy as an example, so they're kind of wimps. And they're just controlled and followed around, do this and just, you know, follow whatever. And that is displeasing to God. That is not what God created in the Garden of Eden. And that's not the example that He set for us in the Scriptures. So let's just hit some reset buttons in our life. All right. Young men, young lady, don't be brainwashed by the culture. You go to the Scriptures and say, I want the kind of marriage that God says we should have. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord. Help us, dear Lord, as we, dear God, are constantly under the attack of the devil. And Lord, good night, he's been cut wild. He's just running wild through this culture. Help us, Lord, just to get back to the Word of God. Oh, I want our church to have good marriages and strong marriages. And so, Lord, the only way that we can do that is to get back to what your plan was. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll keep us teaching and preaching the right things here. But far beyond that, God, give us a people that has a heart that's willing to embrace the Scriptures. Take the world, but give me Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Lord, bless our time, and we pray in Jesus' name.